Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 34. Nanda Maharaj saved and Sankachuda slain. Text number 2. Tatra snatva sarasvatyam.
Devam
pashupatim vibhum.
Anarchur
arhanair bhaktya Devim chani patem bhakim
Devim
chani patem bhikam Ambika. Ambika is the consort of Lord Shiva. Tatrasnatva sarasvatyam
Devam
pashupatim
vibhum
Anarchur arhanair
bhaktya
Devim chani patim bikam Tatrasnatva
sarasvatyam
Devam pashupatim vibhum Anarchur arhanair
bhaktya
Devim chanrit patem bikam
Tatrasnatva
sarasvatyam
Devam
pashupatim vibhum
Anarchura
harnair bhaktya
Devam
pashupatim vibhum
Anarchura
harnair bhaktya
Devim
chani pate vikam
Bathing.
Sarasvatyam. In the river Sarasvati.
In the river Sarasvati.
Devam.
Devam.
The demigod.
The demigod.
Pashupatim.
Pashupatim.
Lord Shiva.
Lord Shiva.
Vibhum.
Vibhum.
The powerful.
The powerful.
Anarachuhu.
Anarachuhu.
Thy worshipped.
Arhanai,
with paraphernalia,
bhaktya,
devotedly,
devim,
the goddess,
cha,
and
ripate,
o king, ambikam,
ambika.
O king, after arriving there, they bathed in the Saraswati and then devotedly worshipped with various paraphernalia the powerful Lord Pashupati and his consort goddess Ambika. Gavo Hiranyam Vashamsi Madhu Madhvanam Adritaha Brahmanebhyo dadu sarve devo na priyatam miti. The cowherd men gave the Brahmanas gifts of cows, gold, clothing, and cooked grains mixed with honey. Then the cowherds prayed, "May the Lord be pleased with us."
Ushu sarasvati tire jalam prasyayata brataha rajanim tam mahabhaga Nanda Sunandaka Kadayaha.
Nanda, Sunanda, and the other greatly fortunate cowherds spent that night on the bank of the Saraswati, strictly observing their vows. They fasted, taking only water. Purport. Sri Vishnu Chakravarti explains that Sunanda is the younger brother of Nanda Maharaj.
Kaschin Mahanahis Tasmin Vipineti Bubhukshitaha Yadrichaya Gato Nandam Shayanam Urago Gasit.
During the night, a huge and extremely hungry snake appeared in that thicket. Slithering on his belly up to the sleeping Nanda Maharaj, the snake began swallowing him.
That would have been a bit of a surprise.
Sachuk Krosahina krasaha Krishna Krishna Maharayam Sarpo mam krasate tata Prapanam parimochaya.
Thank you. That's what I need. In the clutches of the snake, Nanda Maharaj cried out, "Krishna Krishna, my dear boy, this huge serpent is swallowing me. Please save me, who am surrendered to you."
Tasya chakranditam srutva gopala sahasotitaha grastam chatristva vibrantaha sarpam vivyadhur ulmukai.
When the cowherd men heard the cries of Nanda, they immediately rose up and saw that he was being swallowed. Distraught, they beat the serpent with blazing torches.
Alatair dhyamanopi Namunchattam Urangamaha Tam Asprishat Padabhyedya Bhagavan Satpatam Pati.
But even though the firebrands were burning him, the serpent would not release Nanda Maharaj. Then the Supreme Lord Krishna, master of his devotees, came to the spot and touched the snake with his foot.
Savai Bhagavata Srimat Padasparasya Hatha Shubaha Beje sarpa vapur hitva rupam vidyadhararchitam.
The snake had all his simple reactions destroyed by the touch of the Supreme Lord's divine foot. And thus he gave up his serpent body and appeared in the form of a worshipable vidyadhara. Purport. The words rupam vidyadhararchitam indicate that the erstwhile snake appeared in a beautiful form, worshipable among the demigods, called Vidyadharas. In other words, he appeared as the leader of the Vidyadharas.
Mm.
There's a bit more in this. Okay, we'll read a little bit more. We'll finish this pastime off. There's quite a lot of instruction in here, actually. Although there's not a lot of purport.
Tam apritsad drishikeshaha pranatam samavastitam dipyamane navapusha purusham hemamalinam.
The Supreme Lord Hrishikesh then questioned this personality who was standing before him with his head bowed, his brilliantly effulgent body bedecked with golden necklaces. Hemamalini means golden necklaces. The demigod was about to speak, and Lord Krishna wanted to focus everyone's attention on his words. There's an instruction. There's a lesson to be learnt from this pastime. Krishna wanted everybody to be attentive to the words of the Vidyadhara, because what he was about to say was very instructive. His brilliantly effulgent body bedecked with golden necklaces. He personally inquired from the worshipful Vidyadhara, who was standing before him with his head bowed.
Ko bhavan parayak lakshmya rochate bhuta darsanaha katam jugupsitam etam katim va prapito vasaha.
Lord Krishna said, "My dear sir, you appear so wonderful, glowing with such great beauty. Who are you? And who forced you to assume this terrible body of a snake?"
Saparuvacha,
the serpent replied,
"Aham vidyadhara kaschit." Sudarshana iti shrutaha.
What does that mean? Aham vidyadhara kaschit. I am a vidyadhara. So it means aham, I, vidyadhara kaschit. Certainly, I am a vidyadhara.
Sudarshan iti shrutaha,
who is known as Sudarshan.
Sriyasvarupa sampatya vamana vamanena charandishaha. Vishin virupangirasaha prahasam rupadarpitaha tvairimam prapito jonim praladhai svena papmana.
The serpent replied, "I am the well-known Vidyadhara named Sudarshan. I was very opulent and beautiful, and I used to wander freely in all directions in my airplane." There's a few personalities who have suffered the same fate as this Vidyadhara called Sudarshan. "Once I saw some homely sages of the lineage of Angira Muni. Proud of my beauty, I ridiculed them, and because of my sin, they made me assume this lowly form."
Sapo menu grahayaiva kritastai karunatmabhi yadaham loka guruna padas prishto hatas subaha.
It was actually for my benefit that those merciful sages cursed me. Since now I have been touched by the foot of the supreme spiritual master of all the worlds and have thus been relieved of all inauspiciousness.
Tam tvaham bhavavitanam prapananam vayapaham apriccesha panirmuktaha padasparshadamivahan.
My lord, you destroy all fear for those who, fearing this material world, take shelter of you. By the touch of your feet, I am now freed from the curse of the sages, O destroyer of distress, please let me return to my planet. Purport. According to the Acharyas, the word apriche indicates that Sudarshan humbly requested the Lord for permission to return to his abode where he might take up his duties again, certainly in a chastened state of mind. Prapanosmi Mahayogim Mahapurusha Satpate Anujani Himam Deva Sarvalokeshvareshvaraha. O Master of Mystic Power, O Great Personality, O Lord of the Devotees, I surrender to you. Please command me as you will, O Supreme God, Lord of all Lords of the Universe.
Brahmadandad vimuktoham.
Brahmadanda, the punishment, the stick, if you like. That's what it means, the stick of the Brahmanas. Yeah, the punishment of the Brahmanas. Vimuktoham. Now I've been freed by you.
Sadhyaste chuta darshanat.
And I've had your... Well, I've been freed just by seeing you. He's saying, I've been freed of the punishment just by seeing you. Sadhyaste chuta darshanat.
Yan nama grinan akilan srotrin atmanam evacha sadhya punati kimbu yas tasya sprishta padahite.
O infallible one, I was immediately freed from the Brahmana's punishment simply by seeing you. Anyone who chants your name purifies all who he is chanting, as well as himself. How much more beneficial then is the touch of your lotus feet? How much more beneficial is it? How much more beneficial is being touched by Krishna's lotus feet? Huh? Yeah. They're the same.
It's an instruction for those who are chanting Hare Krishna. Don't think that it's lesser.
Ityu ityanudhyapyadasharham parikramya bivandhyacha sudasano divamyataha kritsvanandas chamochita.
Thus, receiving the permission of Lord Krishna, the demigod Sudarshan circumambulated him, bowed down to offer him homage, and then returned to his heavenly planet. Nanda Maharaj was thus delivered from peril.
Nishamya Krishnasya tadatma vaibhavam prajokaso vishmita chetasastata samapyatasmin niyamam punabrajam nipaya yustat katayanta adritaha.
The inhabitants of Braja were astonished to see the mighty power of Sri Krishna. Dear King, they then completed their worship of Lord Shiva and returned to Braj, along the way respectfully describing Krishna's powerful acts.
Om Agyanati Midandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadatti Svapadantikam Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate kudim yat kripa tamaham mande Sri Gurum dinacharinam.
Excuse me. So, Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book that this worship of Lord Shiva is something that the devotees do from time to time. Ekada. Once upon a time. It's not something that they would do regularly. But rather the worship of Lord Shiva is something that can be done or maybe not done. And because it was the occasion of Shivaratri, then the devotees took advantage of that auspicious occasion. It's before
Shivaratri comes about a fortnight, maybe a little bit less, before Gaur Purnima. So sometime after the Rasa dance, because the Rasa dance is performed on the Purnima of the Kartik month, isn't it? Is it? Well, I think that's also the night of the Rasa Lila. A few months. This is a few months later, anyway. The autumn season is in, you know, October, November, something like that. Moves around a bit. And then Shivaratri doesn't come until February, usually. February, March, depending on how the lunar calendar is shifting around. And it's a few days before Dol Yatra, which is described next. Dol Yatra, or what we know as Holi, or it's more familiar to the devotees as Gaur Purnima, because on that day we observe Mahaprabhu's appearance. So the cowherd men went to Siddhapur, or the place of Lord Shiva's it doesn't mention in here. In Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's, because the river Sarasvati is not existent. It's not exactly known where the Sarasvati is. Sarasvati has disappeared. Yeah, still working. So it's exactly known. You've turned it down to the point where it's almost not working. So the cowherd's men went to the bank of the Sarasvati, and there at that auspicious place they took their bath, they shaved up. You know, these are the kind of things that when you go to a sacred place or a holy place, Tirtha, for pilgrimage, then you perform austerities and honour the personalities at that place. And then, of course, take association of the devotees that are there. So, the cowherd men came to that place, took their bath, shaved up, performed austerities. We hear they fasted, so they observed the brata. And then, in taking advantage of the devotees, then they gave the brahmanas gifts. Right? Here it's mentioned. Gava, Hiranyam, Vasamsi, Madhu, Anam, grains mixed with honey. So gifts of cows, gold, clothing, and cooked grains mixed with honey. So this is appropriate. Like last night, you know, the devotees were giving gifts to Srimati Radharani for her appearance day. But basically those gifts are being given to the brahmanas. And of course the brahmanas are meant to use those gifts for the worship of the Lord. So then those who are giving the gifts get the benefit. Right? There are, Prabhupada mentions, there are devas and asuras. Oh, Krishna mentions. But I'm thinking of Prabhupada's instructions. There are devas and there are asuras. In other words, there are different types of personalities. There are those who will worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there are those who will fight with him, right? Who will ignore him. If you ignore Krishna, then that's as good as fighting with him, because, you know, you have to suffer the reactions. So, you know, like a person who is a thief, it will be punished. And of course the devotees know. What is it? Bhaktaram jagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Here is mentioned in one of these verses. Lokeshwara eshwara. Right? Lokeshwara eshwara. That means Krishna is the Ishvara of the Ishvaras of all of the lokas. Right? Lokeshwara eshwara. Krishna is the master of all of the masters of the different planets, planetary systems, lokas. Right? Bhaktaram jagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Maheshwara means the supreme controller, the great controller of all of the lokas. So he's the proprietor of everything. So it's the duty of everybody ultimately to recognize the proprietorship of God. You know, the students, the first question usually the students always ask is, what's that paint on your face? Prabhupada was never impressed by such questions, actually. You know. Actually, he would retort on occasion, you know, why are you wearing a tie? Why are you dressed? That's another thing. They say, why do you wear that uniform? I say, well, you got your uniform on for. So anyway, one of the reasons why we put the tilak on is to remind us who is the proprietor. Huh? We think the body's mine. This is me. I am the enjoyer of this loka, this planet, or this position, if you like. This spot, this body. The body, in one sense, is a little universe in and of itself. We're the enjoyers of it. Well, we think we're enjoying anyway. But we put the mark of the tilak to show that actually this is not mine. This belongs to Krishna. We put the mark of Krishna on the body to show this is the temple of God. Just like we put the sign, there's a cross on the temple, on the church, to show this is the house of God. So this body is a residence. We are the tenant, if you like. We have a temporary lease on this residence, and when the lease is up, then out you go. So we remind ourselves, this is the house of Krishna. This belongs to Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna, actually. That's our remembrance. And in deference to, because it's mentioned in the Isipanishad, what is that verse? Second verse. Second. Isavasyam idam sarvam yat kincha. No, what is it? Yat kincha. Jagatam jagat. Tena chaktena bunjita magrida kasya sviddhanam. Right? Everything animate or inanimate within the creation is owned and controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he gives us a quota. Right? Each one of us is given some facility. So it's not like, you know, we're not allowed to use things for our purposes. We're allowed. We're given a quota. But we shouldn't take more than is required. Knowing well to whom it belongs. Whether it's, you know, Prabhupada was, so, you know, everything belongs to Krishna, but, you know, this is my watch. So don't try to steal it off me. Because I'm using it for Krishna. And Krishna's given me that facility. So there is a facility provided by Krishna for everybody to utilize. But we should still, it's ours in one sense, but we should still recognize to whom it belongs. This is the business of the brahmanas. The Brahmana's business is to remind people to whom everything belongs. And in deference, in realization of that fact, or in appreciation of that, then the devotees bring things to the Brahmanas, to the priests, and to give to Krishna, right? And they recognize that fact. Actually, everything belongs to Krishna, so therefore I should bring my offerings to him. My life, basically, should be dedicated to serving the Lord. And certainly the Brahmana's business is to demonstrate that. And to teach that, because, as Prabhupada points out, the Devas and the Asuras is not a fixed position. A Deva can become an Asura, and an Asura can become a Deva. Right? As we see here, in this pastime, the Vidyadhara Sudarshan is actually a devotee. But he got proud. It's a big problem for the Brahmanas. They think that, he was a demigod, but same goes for the Brahmanas, the problem of becoming proud. Thinking, yes, I am the Lord's servant, I am the best of all of the other Vanas and Ashramas, I can receive things on behalf of the Lord. You know, and actually it's mentioned that opulence, wealth, knowledge, position, these things can actually be obstacles in the path of devotion for a devotee. In fact, the process of devotional service can create an obstacle in one's advancement in Krishna consciousness, interestingly enough. Because what happens? You chant Hare Krishna, become purified, become learned. You may be a good speaker or a good singer. Your preaching may be successful. People come, build a big temple. They give you money. They tell you what a wonderful fellow you are. Huh? And then you start thinking, yes, I am a wonderful fellow. Just see how they're recognizing my good qualities. But of course, as a result of that, comes pride. I'm equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am a Brahmana. The Brahmanas eat on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All sorts of things you could imagine. But then what happens in that kind of, with that kind of mentality, all sorts of things can creep in. One can become lazy, one can become proud, one can become, start to think oneself better than others, because that's pride. Because it's mentioned actually, and this is what happened to a slightly different situation. The demigod, the Vidyadhara Sudarshan, he became proud because of his beauty and his prowess. Same sort of thing though. He's very beautiful, very influential, well known. He had his Viman, his aeroplane, so he could fly anywhere he liked. Right? Pretty cool, really, when you think about it. Very learned, very powerful. He could travel all over the universe wherever he liked, visit all of the holy places, see all of the sages, but then became too familiar. This is what happens. The devotees become too familiar with Krishna. I am a devotee. I am very elevated. Says so in the Bhagavatam. Okay, I was born in a family of not very elevated people, but it says in the Bhagavatam, if you chant Hare Krishna, then automatically you performed all yajñas, given everything in charity, studied all of the Vedas, visited all of the holy places. That's what it says in the Bhagavatam, right? Just once you chant Hare Krishna, then automatically you're very elevated. Dangerous stuff, really, dynamite. Because with that kind of mentality, the pride comes in. And of course, you know, Krishna mentions, actually, this is not a quality of a Brahmana. pride creeps in. Vidya Vinaya Sampane. Good qualification is that he's humble, learned, but that learning doesn't give rise to pride, that learning gives rise to humility. Should do. That's actual learning. Because pride is actually a symptom of ignorance. It's the opposite. This is why we have to be careful though, because as Prabhupada says, asuras, yes, asuras, non-devotees can become devotees, but devotees can also become asuras again. Huh? There are examples of that. Here, the Vidyadhara Sudarshan, he became a snake. Right? Because of his pride, he became a snake. He got a curse. Then what does he do? He goes and tries to eat Nanda Maharaj. With the mentality of a snake, then what does he do? Becomes envious. And it can happen, actually. Even the devotees can become envious of Krishna. And Krishna gets everything. I've got to give everything to him. How come I can't? He may not even say that. He may not even be conscious of the fact that he's thinking that, but he just does it. Just takes it for himself. It can happen. But of course, with grave consequences. You know, what are the consequences of committing offences to others? What happens? Devotion is reduced. What else happens? What has happened here? What happened to the Vidyadhara Sudarshan when he became contemptuous of others? Well, what was one of the symptoms of that, actually? He became a snake. Yep. He lost the taste for... Well, that can certainly happen to devotees, yes. You lose the taste for chanting Hare Krishna. One's devotion decreases. What increases then?
Envy.
Envy, yeah. Material desires.
Lust.
Yeah. Commit offences. You commit offences. And what happens if you commit offences?
Degradation.
You get reactions. Huh? It's why it's said that the process of devotional service is like a razor's edge. Huh? If you have a very smooth chin, huh? Which I didn't this morning. But you can also, you know, make a mistake and cut. Make a mess. Right? So it's interesting, actually, you know, the process of devotional service can create the obstacles, apparently create the obstacles. But what is the Vidyadhara Sudarshan? He says, actually, no, this is your mercy. The cursing of the sages is actually very good for me. Brahma Danda. The bang on the head from the Brahmanas has actually been good for me. So, you know, sometimes we appear to be making progress, but then some anattas come, we create offences. And then as a result of the offences, we get some reaction. Of course, what we get is minimal. But those reactions are not bad things, actually. They're good because they're helping us to remove the unwanted features in our character. So actually, the Vidyadhara Sudarshan is very thankful for the fact that he was cursed. He's not complaining. But it's interesting. Prabhupada says it's the duty of the Brahmanas to make more Brahmanas. Actually, he said this is one of the faults in India was that the Brahmanas... It will stop fulfilling their duty. Right? What are the six duties of a Brahmana? Patan, patan, yajan, yajan, dadati, pratigraha. So performing sacrifices, teaching others to sacrifice, studying the Vedas, teaching the Vedas, and receiving in charity and giving in charity. And of course, giving in charity is so important. A Brahmana is not supposed to accumulate just for himself. You know, Prabhupada recommends we utilize what is given to us and what we got for the puja, for the seva, we accept that. What is necessary, but then whatever we have surplus to requirements, then we give it away. And how do we give it away? We give it away in the form of prasadam. What? Which in this temple, certainly we're doing. We should keep that up always. You know, it was Jinta Rupa said to me last night, she said, wherever I go, I always see people eating. Well, that's good. Prabhupada wanted that when people come to the temple, then they eat. Why is it good for people to eat prasadam?
Okay.
What is it? What's Bunjate te tvagam pa pam ye pachanti atmakaranat. What's the first? Jagya sishtashano santa. The santas, the peaceful devotees, are peaceful. Why? Jagya shishta, because they take the remnants of jagya. Jagya sishtashano santa. Muchante sarva kilbishai. Krishna says, if you eat prasadam, then your sinful reactions are evaporated. This is the potency of prasadam. Right? There's nothing like mahaprasadam. The taste of mahaprasadam, you can't get anywhere other than, you know, in Krishna's, out of Krishna's kitchen. Extremely purified, but that was created by the Brahmanas not preaching, not teaching. And he said that was how the Muslim population increased, and which ultimately was exploited to the detriment of India, because the tension, or the potential for tension between the two, was exploited. And so therefore there was the creation of Pakistan and India, right? Otherwise it's one country. But Prabhupada's point was that if the Brahmanas had preached to the Muslims and converted them back again, you know, the whole idea was, oh, now you become a Muslim and that's it, you're finished. You're irredeemable. Well, that's not our philosophy. That's not the instruction of the Vedas. That, you know, somebody sprinkles water on you and tells you that you're a Muslim and now you have to be a Muslim and eat onions and garlic. And meat. Meat eating. Ooh. So this is Prabhupada's point. Brahmanas are meant to preach and to change people. Right? We're here to change people, just like we've been changed. So it's our business also to change others. Isn't it? That's our business, to change ourselves, but also to change others. So that the good qualities come out. The bad qualities go. Anatta goes. For one who strictly follows the process, the path of bhakti, then it may be, from time to time, the bad qualities come out. But the process of devotional service is so powerful, and we shouldn't doubt it. Actually, Krishna warns us in the Bhagavad Gita, one has to be careful about cynicism or doubting the efficacy of Krishna, of the process of yoga, basically. We have to be very careful about that. Because we see there are obstacles, there are challenges within our progressive path of Krishna consciousness. Bad qualities do come out. Right? But it's a purifying process. We have to expect that the bad will come out. Got to go somewhere. Got to come out and go somewhere. But what it needs purification, basically. The process is just like smelting gold. You know, in order to make gold pure, you heat it up. That's what they say. You've got to get fired up. Heated, you've got to turn on the temperature. Actually, that scares people sometimes because, you know, you hop into the temper, you get into the heat of the fire of devotional service, and then the bad, the impurities will come out. And that scares us. Oh, no, I thought I was a pure devotee. Now I discovered I have all of these bad things. And now I'm discouraged. I don't think I'm making any progress. But that's not a bad thing. That's actually a good thing. You turn up the heat on the gold melts, and then the dirt comes to the surface. And then in the smelting process, you scoop the dirt off and throw it away. That's our chanting. The chanting of Hare Krishna is the means by which we ignore the materialism, the attachments, if you like, the anattas, the unwanted things. We keep chanting Hare Krishna. So that when, you know, material inclinations or proclivities become prominent, we have to ignore them. And work on the pure consciousness of a servant of Krishna. Which is what's happened here to the Vidyadhara Sudarshan. He's been purified just by the sight of Krishna. He said, my sinful reactions were removed as soon as I saw you. My sinful reactions were removed. But then you touched me with your foot, and then the prarabdha karma of his past sinful activities, which, you know, most of us are suffering from the immediate karmas, right? We can get rid of the inclinations for performing sinful activities by the performance of devotional service, right? We become purified by the process of hearing and chanting. We become purified so that our activities are also purified or pure, because we're just engaged in devotional service. Pavitram idam uttamam. Devotional service is above ignorance, and it's it's on the transcendental level. But at the same time, we've still got this material body. We still have to suffer some reactions. That's a prarabdha karma. But he got touched by Krishna's foot, and his body even got removed. The reaction of his body got removed, and he was given again the body of a Vidyadhara. But this time with the right mentality. He had the right mood. Uh-oh, I made a big mistake. And for that mistake, I was given the body of a snake. Right? But now I realize the error of my ways. Let me now be again a devotee. Let me again take up my original position, which ultimately is as a devotee. All of the devas, we can understand. Devotees. The natural quality of the devatas is to be a devotee. And the natural quality of asura is to be not a devotee. To fight with the devotees or whatever. To not want to offer everything to Krishna. To be offensive, basically. So the brahmanas, if you like, or the brahmanas, the devotees, those persons who are devatas, they have to be very careful. We have to be very careful. There has to be strict adherence to this, to the process of devotional service. Otherwise what happens is we commit offences. Rupa Goswami lists in his Nectar of Devotion 64 items of devotional service, but then almost 64 items of things you shouldn't do. Right? Otherwise what happens? Here's what happens, actually, I was listening, Prabhupada was saying, what happens is one becomes a sahajya. One takes the process of devotional service cheaply, whereby we do the positive things, but we're not careful enough about the negative things. But still we think, yeah, I'm a devotee, it's all right, I can do what I like. I don't have to follow the rules and regulations, I'm a devotee. This is pride, actually. But pride is not appreciated by Krishna. So usually then what happens is, the devotees who become proud, well, speaking from experience, then you have difficulties. You doubt the process because material inclinations come up in one's character again. And then we start thinking, oh, this process doesn't work. It's too hard. I'm a pure devotee and Krishna's not reciprocating with me. Krishna is reciprocating with you, he's giving you a kick in the pants. But because our consciousness is dulled over with ignorance, we don't think that's what's happening. We think, oh, what are they picking on me for? So it's interesting. We have to be very careful. Prabhupada wanted the leaders, actually, wanted the leaders of his society to make sure that this ignorance didn't creep in, this pride or attached, you know, these different symptoms of ignorance didn't creep in to the society of devotees. But of course, Maya is vigilant. She's working 24 hours a day. She doesn't take rest. So she's working on the devotees. Of course, that's for our purification. That's actually not bad. It's beneficial for us. But we have to be vigorously active to try and get rid of, to keep these tendencies, the asuri bhav, asuri sampat, mentioned in the 16th chapter. We have to be vigilant in our performance of devotional service. Otherwise, Krishna says, those who doubt, those who don't follow, they won't be happy now, and they won't be happy in the future. Right? That's what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. One who is faithful to this path, right, will be successful. But one who lacks faith, ashradadhana, purusha, the person who doesn't have faith, they will not be happy. This is the end result. We see that sometimes, you know, the devotees are not, you're either ecstatic or you're unhappy, unfortunately. We remain ecstatic by pushing, remaining determined in our devotional practice. And, you know, every now and again we might get run over by our past. That's okay, actually. But we have to remain, you know, Prabhupada says that on the royal road there may be an accident. Right? Even you're following all the rules and regulations, stopping at all the stop signs and whatever. Maybe an accident. But that's okay. Krishna takes the essence. Krishna's gunagrahi. Right? Gunagrahi means he takes the good. That's why he lets us off so much for some of the, you know, because we are doing some good things, and but we can't take it, you know, we shouldn't take advantage. Adosha Dashi. He doesn't see any fault. Adosha Dashi. Gunagrahi means one who takes the good. Adosha Dashi means one who doesn't see any fault in others. But actually, you know, we have to be careful, especially the managers, those who are, you know, the pujari, head pujari, the temple, the cook, the man in charge of the kitchen, the temple commander. He can't be adosha dashi, see no fault, right? Because we're here to change people. We're not here just to say, yeah, it's okay, everything's all right. It's okay, Prabhu, you do what you like. No. Prabhupada didn't do that. You know, Prabhupada's sort of dripping tap. He said, who's responsible for this? Right? Who's responsible for this? Because, you know, and this is, and in one sense, you know, this is the fault of the Brahmanas. Okay, we can't do anything, just leave it. No, we have to preach. We have to actively change people. Even the devotees, actually, once, you know, we'll see. I saw last night, you know, 7 o'clock, Aarti. The deity gates are supposed to be closed at 6:30. The offering's meant to be done at 20 to 7. But what happens? The deity gates don't get closed till 20 to 7. And who knows what time the offering is being done. Right? Now, we have to be vigilant about this sort of thing. And we can't just say, oh, it's the temple president's fault. Because I tell you, I will not accept responsibility for that kind of foolishness. Especially when I've told the devotees more than once, this is not correct. Right? But this kind of thing, you know, this is the offences are being committed and people will get reactions. Huh? So we can't ignore it. It's ignorance. I don't want to ignore it anymore. So therefore I'll preach about it. We have to do something about that. Not that we just offer up Krishna any old sloppy service, and because he's Adosha Dashi, he doesn't see any fault, then it's okay. It's not okay. It's called offensive. Right? It's an offense. you're just on a trip. You're on a power trip. You just like to push people around. Well, forget it. No, we have to change people. Because what will happen is, if we don't change, then Krishna, like here, the Vidyadhara Sudarshan, whoop, see you later, mate. Go and take birth as a snake for a little while. You want to behave in a mode of ignorance? All right, you're a devotee, but you're not behaving properly. You'll get a reaction. Isn't it? Isn't that what happens? Yep. Yep. It's a tough job, I tell you, it's a tough job being a preacher. Because, you know, the material energy is, Prabhupada mentions, Maya has two potencies. She has the Avaranatmika and the Pratyekpatmika Shakti. One is for keeping covered. So therefore the hog is happy to be a hog. He thinks, yeah, this stool is great. But then, so that's the covering potency. She just covers you up and keeps you covered and you're happy in your ignorance. Right? But there's another one for the devotees, special potency, which is to pull them down from their advancement in Krishna consciousness. That's her job. To test us. Otherwise, the Maya creeps in, and if we're not careful, you know, we can again, you know, what is it? What's that? Puna Mushika Bhava. Again, become a mouse. And we see, you know, this is why the process of devotional service, it's said the process of devotional service can create the obstacles. We become devotees, the previous distress that we felt is alleviated. Right? We become devotees, Krishna gives us some money. Our material situation is improved. Oh, well, no, that's good, I can relax now. But then what happens? We become lackadaisical. But then what happens is we get reactions. Then as a result of the reactions, we start doubting. And then, who knows what happens after that? Destination. Confusion. We can learn from this. Of course, Krishna is kind to the devotees. You know, even if we've performed devotional service with offences, Krishna does accept an element of our service. He does look after us. But our progress is not as quick. And the benefits, the real benefits of devotional service don't accrue as quickly. And in fact, what happens is if you continue to commit offences, then, you know, you can temporarily cover the progress that you've made. It's only temporary, just here, because, you know, Sudarshan got the mercy of Krishna, and so he was reinstated to his original position. So a devotee can always take, you know, cash in on his sukriti as a devotee. But, you know, he might find his bank account frozen. Right, you know, sometimes you put your key card into the ATM and it just swallows it up. Takes it. Right, so it's a bit like that. You try to cash in on your pious sukriti, but when you go to do so, your offences temporarily stop you. So we need to avoid that here by taking shoulder of Krishna. Actually, Sudarshan is saying, I saw you, but what about the benefit that I got from seeing you? What about those who chant your name? For whoever chants your name, then the same benefit is provided. The same purification, if you like, is provided. But of course, in taking advantage of the holy name, one has to avoid the offences also, because in chanting Hare Krishna, there's also offences. We have to, in other words, you know, we have to be vigilant all the time. This is what's hard for the devotees, you know, always maintaining vigilance. And it seems like it's never ending sometimes. It's like, oh, I've always got to keep trying so hard. I remember that when I was first a devotee coming to the temple, living in the ashram, and every morning at the end of Mangalartik, after paying my obeisances, just getting up was a struggle. It was sort of like, and felt like going to sleep. And then, you know, Tulsi Puja was like, it just seemed to go on and on and on forever and ever and ever. And I think, do I have to do this every day for the rest of my life? But sometimes it can be discouraging. But we shouldn't, because, you know, it's just practice. We have to practice and keep practicing and keep practicing and keep scooping off the anattas, the ignorance, the unwanted things, to uncover the gold, if you like. You know, the gold is there. The gold is in the gold mine. We've just got to keep digging for it because it's already there. The Krishna consciousness is already there. It's just got a little bit covered over with a bit of confusion. We just got to clean it off. So there are quite a few lessons to be learnt from this story of the Vidyadhara Sudarshan. Does anybody have any comments or questions at this point? Yes. Abhishek.
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, like, whosoever takes the process of devotional service of Krishna consciousness, there is no fall in the next breath, you start from where you left.
Yeah.
So, I think I read somewhere in the purport that you will get a human body next breath.
You get a human form?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he got. We know that that may not necessarily be the case, right? But you'll get some other benediction also. Look at Maharaj Bharat. He got the birth of a deer. But he also got the benediction that he would remember what he'd done in his previous life. So then he, even while he was in the form of a deer, when he got the association of the sages, he then stayed with them and he would hear the katha. Right? Sudarshan got the body of a snake, but he also got the blessing of being kicked by Krishna. Right? And Manigriva and Nalakuvera, they got to take birth as trees, but not ordinary trees. They got the blessing to take birth in the house of Maharaj Nanda as a tree. So they got a special benediction. They didn't get a human birth, right? But they got a very special benediction where they got Krishna's sangha, they got Krishna's kick. Or, you know, they got pulled down by Krishna, the two trees. So, you know, one way or another, you'll get the benefit. Right? May not be as a human being. You know, you can take birth as one of the sparrows in Albert Park, and you see them, they fly into the prasadam hall, take prasadam, then go down the stairs. Right? You can see the sparrows. They come in, fly up the stairs, into the prasadam hall, take the remnants of prasadam, and then they fly back down again and go out. Rishis. Maybe. I think better to take advantage of the human form of life now while we've got it and perfect things, or make a good effort of perfection in this lifetime anyway. Yes. Yeah, you can see your bank balance in there, but you just can't get to it. Whereas when you're chanting Hare Krishna and everything is going good, then you feel the asset. You feel it. You can feel it. I was having a chat with Burijan Prabhu the other day, and when he was here, and we were just discussing how qualified many of the devotees are, and I was just pointing out how I didn't have any academic qualification, and he said, yes, we may not have any academic qualification, but what they lack is 28 or 30 years of devotional service. So it actually gives you great. And I see that actually with my friends, my family especially. You know, and I was mentioning this to one of the school groups the other day. You know, people, well, no, actually a guy. there's a magazine called FHM, which is not a magazine that neither you or I would ever read, I would think. But they rang me up and they asked me, they said, would you like to comment on an article that we're writing about basically they were saying we want to make fun of religion. Would you be upset by that? I said to them, I write to him, I said, this must be a humorous, this must be light-hearted article. He said, yes, it is. And I rang him up and I spoke to him and I said, look, do you really like upsetting people? Is that what you want to do? He said, no, we don't want to upset people. I said, well, that's probably what you will do. And I made a point to this fellow. I said, you know, people used to laugh at me, and I don't mind people laughing at me. See, I can take a joke. But I said, there are many people who take their religion seriously, and they don't take a joke. So I said to him, I said, here's what will happen. If they find out that you're writing an article that's making fun of the Hare Krishnas, then whilst I can take a joke, They'll want me to do something about it because they can't. Because I'm the leader, and they'll say, you've got to do something about this. And they'll be upset. But I said to them, I said, you know, I got used to people laughing at me. I said, my friends and my family used to laugh at me 30 years ago. But now they don't laugh at me anymore. They respect me. And they say, boy, we really appreciate what you've done. Huh? This is the value of devotional service. Years of devotional service. You get some benefit, even if it's improperly performed. Huh? Very powerful. Very powerful. Then we may not have any, you know, so-called material qualification, but the qualifications that we get. Because it's very interesting, you know, as devotees, it's a lifetime of education, actually. It's a lifetime of the cultivation of knowledge. And it's not just some academic thing. It's realized knowledge. So that comes out very powerfully. Ooh, that man annoyed me, actually. I made out, yeah, I can take a joke. But actually nobody, I said to him, I said, you know, at school, people used to say to me, ah, come on, can't you take a joke? Now, why would they say that? They would say that to you because they knew they'd upset you. Right? You ever have that at school? Or even just it's a typical Aussie thing. Ah, what's wrong with you? Can't you take a joke? No, I can't. You upset me and I feel like punching you on the nose. Well, that's what happens. That's how people feel. So especially when it comes to their religion, you make a fun of a person's religion and have a guess what? They get upset. You're the person who's offending, and then what do you say? Oh, can't you take a joke? It's just a defensive, it's a bullying behaviour. That's what it is. But the crass materialist, of course I didn't tell him that he was a crass materialist, but it is, it's a fact. The crass materialist who cannot appreciate the finer points of religion make fun of it. They make fun of it. It's a low grade, low class, low level intellectual exercise. It is so low grade.
I think that magazine, FAGM, it's a men's magazine.
Yeah. I was wondering what it stood for. Certainly if you look at their website, that's what they're I went and had a look at their website just to check it out. So first of all, I thought maybe this guy is just, it's just a, you know, a spoof. Somebody's mucking me around. So I went to their website to find out what their email addresses were, to check to see whether the email address was correct or not. So eventually I found the contact page. It was pretty hard to find. That bit was well hidden. But there was plenty of exposed flesh that's not healthy for brahmacharis to see, or anybody for that matter, really, when you think about it. That's what they're into. Yeah, no race. Everything I think stopped them from writing the article, so what to do? I don't think it matters anyway. None of the people who are in our religious organisation, none of the people who would be affiliates of the Krishna Consciousness Movement are going to read your magazine, that's for sure. Yeah. No, it's initiated by the misbehaviour of the devotee first. Then he gets the curse. The curses are a blessing. The chastisement from a devotee is a blessing. But, you know, if your spiritual master chastises you, what do you say? Oh, what are you picking on me for? I didn't do anything wrong.
Can you only get these blessings by the sages?
Material energy can give you a blessing. The spiritual energy could give you a blessing. I think it depends a little bit on your mentality and how you receive it. Isn't it? Aditya wants you to come and pick him up. Huh? Breakfast time. Prabhu, come and get me, it's breakfast time. They're thinking, what's going on? They've already started breakfast. Well, that's interesting. Actually, we were discussing this the other day in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, I'm not the doer. And he'll facilitate you when you want. Because he wants it all the time. Right? So, you know, Krishna emphasizes this point of I'm not the doer, or you're not the doer, to illustrate that we're not the body, that we're spiritual by nature, and that we're being facilitated. But we are the doer. Krishna is also the doer. The material energy is also the doer, so there's a shared responsibility. We have a shared responsibility. And so therefore, the reactions that we get, that's because of our misbehavior. Right? Because of our erroneous desire, basically. That's where it comes from. So we can't, you know, just say, oh, I'm not the doer. This is a cop-out. Isn't it? We are the doer. In the sense that we initiate